want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3, if you would. This is lesson number 32 on the subject of helping people. Helping people. I think that is what Christianity is all about. Joel chapter 3. Once you found it, why don't you stand with me? Joel chapter 3. We're going to find verse number 12. Again, I'll read the scripture out loud to you. You can follow along silently and watch when we get to verse number 14, because it is from verse 14 we'll get our springboard into tonight's sermon. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I set to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. If you'll look back at me. Here in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, we see that there were many people making decisions. It said there were multitudes of people making decisions, which meant there were multitudes of decisions being made. The lesson tonight, the sermon, if you will, I call it helping people by keeping the decisions that you've made. Helping people by keeping the decisions that you've made. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. A simple sermon, by a simple preacher. Take the sermon tonight, though, Lord, and help us to see how interesting and how important it is that we keep our decisions that we've made for you. Father, bless us with thy Spirit's presence. Somehow, God, prick someone's conscience. Stir their memory tonight about the good decisions that they've made and about which they have gone back on. Now bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll make this statement now. I'll probably make it again later. The whole concept of this evening is, I think you and I would help a lot of people if when we make decisions for the Lord, you know, when we decide to do good things and we decide to do right things for the Lord, if we would just stick to the decisions that we've made. That's the whole concept. That's the whole truth. Now, I want you to think about this. I wonder where all of us would be if we would have kept every good decision we ever made for God. Where would we be had when we were five, we made a promise to God about something good, about something right, about something scriptural, about something doctrinal, about something that we should do? What would happen if we wouldn't have gotten backslidden and stepped away from it, ignored it? No, maybe even we came back to it, but we came back to it 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, and in some of your cases, never came back to it. Think about where we would be. Think about where you would be if all the good decisions you made for God throughout your life, if you would have kept those decisions. Think about where the church would be. Can you imagine where we would all be? Because most everybody has had one of those days where they said, "Oh God, I'm going to serve you with my might till the day I die. Oh God, I'll never steal the tithe again." And then you did. "Oh God, I promise you I'm going to witness to people on a regular basis." And then you didn't. What would have happened if we would have all just kept our decisions? Now, folks, life is made up of a series of decisions. That's what you do all day long, every day. Some more practical than others, but decision making is what we do all day. And if you're not good with decisions, then you're not good with life. If you have learned to make your decisions properly, scripturally, by principle, not by emotion, but if you've not learned that, then you're not going to succeed in life. Here in Joel chapter 3, verse number 14, there are many people making decisions. Multitudes of decisions. And you know something? Multitudes of you have made decisions. Here in our services, and in services before I became the pastor here, and in other good gospel preaching churches. Here, you hear decision-making preaching. I'm not just here to give out information. I'm here to get us to do what God said. Some people, some churches, some preachers just want to tell everybody what God said. I'm not just trying to get us to know what God said. I think God doesn't want us just to be educated about the Bible. I think He wants us to live the Bible. So the type preaching that we get here is decision-making preaching and decision-making teaching. The music that we pick, Brother Edwards, we pick decision-making music. We're not just trying to entertain you with our music. The music becomes a part of the decision-making in the church. Everybody here has made one or many decisions. And sometimes you make decisions to do right. Sometimes you make decisions to continue to do wrong. But we're all making a lot of decisions. All of us have made decisions. And your decisions will influence you. And your decisions will influence others. Good decisions will influence you. Good decisions will influence others. Bad decisions will influence you. And your bad decisions will influence others. I've made a lot of decisions in my lifetime. I'll tell you about some of them. I've tried hard to make my decisions, and then my good decisions stick with them. The first one that I made was a great decision. I didn't have to choose to stick with it. God didn't give me that chance. And that decision is this. I decided to let Jesus save me. I'll never forget the night that I got saved. I was in my bedroom. I could look out the window, and there was a street light on the corner. I had a little red Gideon's New Testament back when they were just strictly King James Bible that they gave out. And I had a King James little red pocket-sized Gideon's New Testament. I knew what it take for a person to be saved. I took that New Testament. I got on my knees. I read the Romans Road to myself. And I closed my eyes as tight as I could. I shut everything else out of my mind. And I pictured the God of heaven. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and save me. And I'm going to tell you something. He did. He saved me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I may be a little different than you. I've never doubted my salvation from that day to this. Never doubted it. Never did. I'm in it. Now, I told you, that's one of the decisions I made that I didn't have to stick with. You say, why? He stuck with me. You know, even if I wouldn't have stuck with it, He stuck with me. Because the Bible teaches, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be. He saved me that day. That was a good decision for me to make. I'm glad I made that decision. And God said, well, I got you in the decision-making attitude right now. I'm going to go ahead and just lock this down. You don't have to ever worry about that one again. I'm glad I did. Now, I'm going to tell of another decision. I shared this with some friends this week. I was 12. I was sick. I threw up. I'd never thrown up before. I'm going to tell you something. Throwing up is nasty. Nasty. Yeah, I made a conscious decision that day, Brother Steve. I said, that throwing up business is for the birds. And I said, I'm never doing that again. I'm not going to throw up. I'll do whatever I have to. I can tell you. Once, I went through a partial process, but I'm 55 years of age, and as far as just going full heave and letting her fly, I haven't done it again. You say, why? I decided I wasn't doing that again. I'd recommend to most of you, just go ahead and decide that, because I don't know if your memory of throwing up was anything like my memory of tossing the cookies, but I don't know where they got tossing the cookies. It didn't taste like cookies coming out. It might have been cookies going down. But I said, I'm not going to do that again. I remember when God called me to preach. I was 16 years of age. I was in an old-fashioned tent meeting, and a man was preaching, and there was sawdust on the floor. The pews were made of two-befores and four-befores of old raw wood. We had a tent set up in a cornfield, and a evangelist by the name of Dr. Leon F. Maurer had gotten up and preached. And I remember that night, I remember I was sitting in the back, and when the altar call was given, I walked the aisle, and I came down, and I got on my knees. That old evangelist came over and put his arms around me. He was sweaty. He'd been preaching in the heat of the night. And he said, God use this young man. I've never forgotten that night. I've never forgotten that night. 37,000 plus sermons later, as a 16-year-old boy, I remember back to making a decision that God had placed his hand upon me to call me to preach. Never been real good at it, but I'll tell you this, I know it's what God told me to do. And I've been doing it ever since. It's a decision that I made. I made a decision when I was a young man. I decided I was going to be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. You say, why? Because I looked at everything else and couldn't find anything that was close to the Bible. And I said, you know what? That's the one. That's the one that is closest to the Bible. That's the one that I'm going to stick with. I've been at it a long time. I had a lot of different religions, if you will, that have tried to persuade me to change over. But there was no changing for me. I have no desire to become a part of the new movements or anything like that. I have no apology. You cut me. I bleed red, white, blue, King James Bible and Baptist, and that's the way it is. I believe the Bible. Now, you take, and it's a decision I made, and I hope to keep that decision till the day I die. When I married my wife, I had decided I wanted to stay married no matter what. That meant something to me. I was serious about that. I've kept that decision. Now listen, I'll tell you this. I'd rather make a decision. I'd rather try and fail than to have never tried. I think we ought to try. I think we ought to want to succeed. I think we ought to keep our decisions. But people, I believe, people need to see people that keep their decisions. Decisions that we make as Christians that don't stick, it dilutes things in everybody's mind. So I go back to the opening statement that I made. When you and I make a decision for the Lord, I wonder where we would all be if we'd make good decisions, then actually stick with them. Let me give you a case in point. You remember when you promised God you're going to read your Bible every day? You know what a hard time you've had with that decision? Do you know where you'd be in your Christian life if you would have kept it? Hey, you remember when you told God you were going to pray every day? You struggle with that thing? What would have happened if you would have kept that decision? You remember when you told God you cared about people not going to hell and you said you're going to witness and not be a coward and not be ashamed and not retract yourself? Well, I wonder how many people would be in heaven today had you kept that decision. Hey, our decisions, they affect us, but I'll tell you what, our decisions affect a lot of people. The sermon, it gets simpler as you go along. All I want to do is I want to talk to us about the keeping of the decisions that we make for the Lord. First of all, let me say this, and number one, the Bible is full of decisions that people have made. It's a decision book. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, made this decision. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a decision. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, made this decision. He said, so built we the wall. We just referred to that on Sunday night in church. David in 1 Samuel 1:29 concerning fighting Goliath made this decision. He said, is there not a cause? Hey, and the decision is historical because he went out and whacked the big booger's head off. In Job chapter 13, verse number 15, Job made this decision. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And you want to know something? Job kept that decision. Did you know David kept the decision to challenge Goliath? Did you know that Nehemiah not only said, we'll build a wall, they build a wall, because many chapters later in Nehemiah it said, and we finished the wall. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, and he did. Peter, in Mark chapter 4, verse 31, he said, I will not deny thee. Uh-oh. Remember when it was about time for Jesus to go to the crucifixion and Peter said, oh, don't you worry about me, Jesus, got you covered. I'll not deny you. I think Peter had a hard time keeping a decision. And did it affect anybody? It sure did. There was fallout from it. We're still talking about it today. I wonder if you could, in heaven, every time we mention that story, Peter, if he could, he can't, but he'd probably go, oh, roll his eyes and say, there they are talking. One day, one bad day, they all hold it against me down there. Now, throughout the Bible, you see people making decisions. Secondly, there are a lot of good reasons why we ought to keep the good decisions that we make. Psalm chapter 86, verse 12 says, I will glorify thy name forevermore. One of the main reasons why you and I ought to make good decisions for the Lord, one of the reasons why we ought not only make decisions but keep the decision, is so it glorifies God. And so you all know, the making of a decision is the easy part. Anybody can get caught up in the emotional movement of the moment. It's the keeping of the decision that's where the rubber meets the road. But why should we do it? Well, it'll glorify God. Why should you make these decisions and then keep these decisions? Well, you should do it for yourself. It's best for you. Some of you, if you love your friends, let me tell you something. That decision you made at camp a long time ago. Remember when you were at camp and the preaching was hot and your heart was tender and you made a decision? It had been best for some of your friends even now if you would have kept that decision. Keeping your decisions for God is best for your friends. Young people, keeping your decisions, your good things that you decided to do, keeping those decisions, that's best for your parents. Hey, parents, what's best for your kids? You remember back when you didn't even have children and you respected the position of mom and dad and you're going to have a child someday and you said, we got to get serious about this. And my boy, when we raise our children, we're going to raise them in church and it's going to be different. And hey, remember parents when you made that promise to God? Have you kept it? Hey, it's best for your kids that you keep your promises. It's best to God that you keep the decisions that you've made. It's best for your church if you keep the decisions that you made for God. Do you know how much that we can damage our church by making decisions to live godly and then going out into the world and not doing so? You know that people will judge what they think of our church based on our behavior outside the walls of this church. You know what's best for our country? It's best for our country that Christians make decisions for God and then keep those decisions. You say, well, if we could get all the heathen saved, that would change this country. You won't get the heathen saved until you change the Christians. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then shall I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God said the revival in the country is not dependent on the heathen. It's dependent on backslidden Christians that used to say, I made a decision to be in church. I made a decision to love God. I made a decision to do that. And then we don't keep our decision. There's some of you, reason why your life is not what it ought to be is because you've gone back on decisions. You changed your mind about decisions. Did you know the Bible's not changed? You know, Jesus has not changed. You know, it is best for the lost that you and I keep our decisions for God. You know, it is best for the new Christian that the older Christians keep their decisions for God. You know, it is best for the backslidden that we keep our decisions for God. You know, it is best for the, it's best for the non-decision-making keepers to watch someone keep their decision. Two people walk the aisle at the same service, make the same decision. One keeps it, the other does not. You better thank God that somebody kept the decision. And that's a powerful influence on the one that just made the decision and then walked away from it. You want to know one of the best things? I believe this. I believe whatever your issue is in your family or your life, I'll promise you this, probably, if we got everybody in here just to keep the decisions you've already made in the past about your Christianity, we could clear up most of the issues in your family. You just haven't kept the decisions. You didn't keep your Bible reading up. You didn't keep your prayer up. You didn't keep your church attendance up. You're in a financial mess because you didn't keep up your financial obligations that you promised God. You promised to control your temper, but you didn't keep your word. Remember when you walked the aisle and you actually had the courage to fill out the decision slip that you made public, that heavy decision, because God had gotten a hold of your heart? But what happened? You didn't keep that decision. And I'm not necessarily talking about the great, big, massive decision of life. I'm talking about some of the everyday, how to live, how to do right, how to treat people decisions. I made a decision a long time ago that I would never write a nasty letter to anybody and stick it in the mail immediately. My decision was it would always sit on my desk for 3 days before I'd ever send it. You know what? That has spared me. Nobody on the face of this earth has a nasty letter for me. You say, why? I might write it, but I don't send it. I take 3 days, and within a day, God gets a hold of my heart and says, you don't want to say that. That's not Christ-like. You're not acting right. So I always tear it up. Got to the point where I decided just not to write them anymore. Why waste the energy? Our decisions affect us. Our decisions affect other people. Now, how in the world do you make then decisions that you'll keep? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll spend the next few minutes helping us with that. How to keep our decisions. Psalm 119, verse number 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, first of all, listen to this. If you want to make decisions that are lasting and that you will keep, number one, you have to mean it. You have to mean it when you make the decision. Folks, don't make a decision just so that you're participating in the altar call. You say, he just asked that question. Did God speak to my heart? I better raise my hand. I don't want to think God didn't speak to my heart. So you wake up long enough to raise your hand. Well, someday I'm going to be asking for everybody that's going to give $1,000, and you're going to wake up and raise your hand. Then you're really going to be in trouble. Hey, don't make decisions to fulfill an element of peer pressure that you feel. Here's what I'm saying. In its simplest form, be real. When God called me to preach, I got to be very honest with you. I didn't care what anybody in that old tent thought. I didn't care. I didn't do it to get anybody's attention. I wasn't trying to impress the other teenage boys there. Usually they're not real impressed when a guy says he's called to preach. I wasn't trying to get any attention. God dealt with my heart. And I did what God wanted. It was real to me. So you're more apt to keep a decision if you mean it when you make it. Number two, what else? What else will help you to keep your decisions? This is simple. Pray for God's help in regard to that decision. There's some of you, you've made the decision to control your temper. You made it many, many times. Making the decision is the easy part. Keeping the decision is the hard part. So what do you do? Pray about it. I pray. I don't know if I pray this every day, but I know I've prayed it every week for almost 40 years. Listen to this prayer. Dear God, if there comes a day when you can't use me as a preacher anymore, kill me. Take me to heaven. I've been praying that for 40 years. I made it to 40 years. And if you mean it, then get help. Go to God. Pray. And some of you, you know what you need to do? You need to be reminded right now of some of those decisions you made, that you're going to be a soul winner, that you're going to be faithful to church, that you were going to tithe, that you were going to read your Bible, that you were going to pray a certain amount, that you were going to be good in a certain way. Hey, remember when you made the decision to take that nasty thing out of your life, but you're right back to it? You need to mean the decision, and then you pray about the decision and get God in on it. Number three, here's a part that will really help you. Sometimes you need to make your decision public. You make it public. We have an altar call here. That's not a humiliation call. It's an altar call. The altar is taught in the Bible. So the invitation at church is given, and God has reached down and really spoken to your heart. Sometimes it's good to walk down the aisle, and here's how we do it. We have a couple of men, one that stands on one side up here, one on the other. Those are altar workers. We have a couple ladies that are name takers. It's their job. If somebody comes forward and they've made a decision, maybe you make the decision that you're going to read your Bible every day, and you feel like, I've made this decision before, and I'm not keeping this decision. You know, I'm going to make it public. You say, why? Well, the obvious, first of all, peer pressure, positive peer pressure. You told God and everybody that you're going to do it. Puts a little pressure on you. Walking the aisle at church, nothing sinful about it. It's a right thing to do. So this is what you do. You walk the aisle. You walk up to, maybe it's Brother Young or Brother Ellswick or whoever's standing down here. You walk up to him and say, listen, Brother Ellswick, I've made a decision. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'd like to make that public. So you go and sit down, and maybe Mrs. Julie Howard is the name taker, and she'll write your name down that you make that decision. Then they hand that to me, and I read it. Do you know that sometimes making something public will put the extra pressure on you to do it? So that's how it works. But you mean it when you make it. You pray about the decision that you've made. You then, often, they need to be made public. Then, number four, I think you ought to tell your friends. I think you ought to tell your friends if you're making good decisions. We tell them about the bad ones. Boy, the old flesh will have you bragging about the bad ones. You ought to tell your friends, take a stand. Do you know that the Bible teaches that when the maniac of Gadara got saved, that he told everybody? Do you know that the woman at the well that had been found with, you know, five husbands, do you know, the Bible says she spread the word when she got saved. You know, she told everybody about her decision. One of the best things a brand new saved person can do is just go tell everybody they got saved. So I might be humiliated. Oh, Jesus was humiliated to make your salvation available to you. But there's some of you, hey, listen, there's some of you, you listen to bad music. You need to make the decision to stop listening to bad music. Then you need to go to your friends with whom you have been listening to the bad music and say, I made a decision for God. What is it? I'm going to stop listening to bad music. That makes it pretty tough to go back and listen to bad music with your friend. They're going to know you're a liar. They're going to know you don't mean business. But tell your friends. Now, I would do this. Folks, at that point, when you're willing to tell your friends that you made a decision for God, you're going to have to decide to be willing to walk alone. Your friend may laugh at you. Your friend may say, yeah, he got to you, didn't he? He got to you, meaning the preacher. Okay. You have to be willing to walk alone. You may have somebody mock you. May have somebody tease you. But if you want to make decisions that are lasting, you better mean it. You better get God in on it and pray. Wouldn't hurt you to make it public. Wouldn't hurt you. Go tell your friends. Young people, listen to this. If you make a decision, let me encourage you to tell your parents. Tell your parents. You go to camp, or you're in Youth Ablaze, or whatever. Hey, it doesn't hurt. You make a decision sitting right there in your pew. And God speaks to your heart. When you're driving on the way home and you're sitting in the back seat, mom and dad are driving, won't you speak up and say, you know what, Dad, tonight when preacher was preaching, I made a decision. You say, Brother Owens, if I tell my mom and dad I made the decision, they're going to be right there to watch. Right. It may help you. It would help you. Hey, and parents, let me tell you something. If a young person tells you they're making a good decision, don't say something like this. Oh, yeah, sure, you made that decision before. Now, that's one of the reasons they don't want to tell you. You say, well, they've done it time and time again, and they're just blowing off. Well, let me tell you something, parent. God looks down and says to you, yeah, you've said it time and time again. You promised me over and over again. Now, does God say to you, don't try again? No, God said to your sin-sick, sorry, parenting soul that you failed over and over again, and your Heavenly Father gives you a chance. You need to give your kids another chance. Matter of fact, they deserve more chances than you do. You've been at it longer than them. You ought to know how to make a decision now and stick with it. But boy, I used to just hate it. I would be preaching at a camp and teenagers would get on fire for God and make decisions. And you know, you take them to camp and get them away from the television for a few days and make them leave their cell phone at home. And we're out there preaching and singing and having good, clean, wholesome fun. And revival breaks out and kids are getting right with God. You send them home and you say, go tell your mom and dad what happened. And they get home and mom and dad said, yeah, sure. We seen this last year at camp. I'm thinking, you didn't do yourself a favor at all. Adults around here, the young people make decisions. You know what we do? Get on the bandwagon and believe in it and hope for them and pray for them. I'm not real sure. I think it's probably a little rougher being a young person in this day and age than in your era. In your day and age, you didn't have one of these where you could tap into all the filth on the internet in just one push of a button. It was out there, but it wasn't as accessible, and all the weird, wacky, nutty stuff that's going on all across our nation. Wow. Let's back them. But I would say, you want to make a decision and make it a lasting decision and keep it, tell your friends. Young people, tell your parents. Hey, tell other spiritual leaders. Young people, you make a good, godly decision. Go tell Brother Elswick, your youth pastor. Go tell him. Go tell your Sunday school teacher. If Brother Matt Smith is your Sunday school teacher and you made a decision for God, don't you be afraid to go to Sunday school on Sunday morning and say, you know what, Brother Matt? Boy, on Sunday, preacher was preaching and I made a decision to do this. Folks, if we don't encourage one another, who's going to encourage us? And sharing the decision helps to solidify the decision. It puts a pressure on you. It's a positive pressure. So we must mean it. We then pray to God that we will keep that decision. Then we make it public. We can make it public by telling our friends. We can make it public by virtually walking the aisle at the church and making public that decision. We can make it public by telling our parents. We can make it public by telling other spiritual leaders. Hey, I don't mind at all. And I have someone do this probably almost every week of my life. Somebody in our congregation or someone from elsewhere. They'll make a spiritual decision and they'll say, hey, Pastor, I decided that I'm going to do this. And I say, well, amen. Good. Good. And you know what I'll do? Every once in a while, I'll very politely say, hey, how's that going? How's that going? But not to beat them down, not to hurt them. But if we're going to make a decision, if it was worth making, then it's worth keeping. And if it's worth keeping, it's worth setting up a system whereby we might be able to keep the decision. Because think of where we would all be, folks. Think of where every one of us would be if we would have kept every decision that we made for God. The messes that we have in our lives today would not be existent. But because we make the decision and we don't keep it, we hurt ourselves. Let me give you something else that will help you. Sometimes it's a very good idea to write down the decision that you've made. Write it in your Bible somewhere. You ever write down a decision in your Bible and get to leafing through it a year later and see it and go, ooh. Oh, boy. Wow. It's a good idea. Write it down. Do you know at the bank, here's what they do. You go to the bank and you borrow money to buy a house. At some point, they're going to have you take one of these and sign your name to your decision. And if there's ever a problem, they'll pull that out and show you your name. We wrote down what we promised to do. It's a promissory note, if you will. Well, listen, folks, more important than your money is the Word of God. I think sometimes you make a decision, it'd be a good idea to go in your Bible and just write down. Hey, write down the date that you made the decision. Maybe you ought to write down the circumstances under which the decision was made. But it would do some of you good if you had it written down in here that you decided on such and such date that you were going to tell others about Jesus Christ and you were not going to be a cowardly Christian, but you were going to become a soul winner. Wouldn't hurt you. And then you get backslidden, you'll find that. It could help prompt you, but writing it down can make a difference. Next. So here's what we've said, by the way. You got to mean it. You got to be serious about it. Secondly, pray and get God to help you. Thirdly, make it public. How? With your friends, in a church service, with your parents, with other spiritual leaders. Then, I said, write it down. Then, live it immediately. Live the decision immediately. If you say, I'm giving up rock music, and you should. But if you say, I'm giving up rock music, here's what you do. You go home, and you burn all the rock CDs immediately. Don't hesitate. Act now. You say, why? You ever heard the old saying, strike while the iron's hot? Where the Holy Spirit is hot, burning within you, and you've made a decision, you better get the temptation to do wrong away from you. If there's something in your possession, at your house, that you know's wrong, and you shouldn't have it, if the preaching convicts you enough that you feel bad about it, I would recommend that you get in your car, you drive home, you destroy it now. Now. Why? Before the devil gets in that thing and you re-justify its presence in your house, or you re-justify it being in your life. I'll tell you this. What would you all say to me? What would you say to me if I told you, I know a guy, he does cocaine. And he made the decision at church to give up the cocaine. He went home and he decided to get rid of some of his cocaine. but he kept a little back. Now you tell me this. Would you guess that his decision was thorough? You'd say, would you recommend that he go ahead and just get rid of all the cocaine? So holding it back means mentally somewhere he's going back, right? So you go home and you get rid of some of the bad music, but you keep some back. You hold on to some of it. Or you get rid of some of the bad clothes, but you keep some of them. What are you doing? You're making a way to go back. You ever heard the old saying about burning your bridges? Probably a wise thing for some of you to do. There's some of you, you're going back. I don't know when. You say, how do you know? Because of what you kept. You kept away. You want to mean your decision? Burn your bridges. Make it so you can't go back. Throw it away. Get away from it. But whatever it is, if you say, preacher, I made the decision, I'm going to become a soul winner, then I'll recommend you come soul winning Thursday night, this next Saturday morning. But if you say, I promised God I was going to be a soul winner on a weekly basis, and I'm going to start in January. Well, that's your trend, isn't it? Procrastination is not a whole lot different than backsliding. Still not getting the job done. So, live it immediately. Next, get help if you need it. If you say, I've made a decision to do something, it's a good thing. I made a decision to stop something bad or to start something good. But I've made a good decision for God. I made it in church. I made it during the preaching. I made it during my Bible reading. And I want to keep that decision. If you need to, go get help from somebody about how to keep that decision. Go see the youth pastor. Go see your Sunday school teacher. See the pastor. Say, Pastor, I had someone say to me one time, they said, Pastor, I had promised God I was going to begin to tithe. But I got to looking at it, and I couldn't figure out how. I couldn't figure out how I was going to pull all this off. And so I put it off. And next thing you know, years had passed, and I never did get it done. And then I heard about it again. Now, Pastor, I decided I better get some help, because last time, because I couldn't figure it out, I just set it aside. Now, let me tell you something. You make a decision for God, and you can't figure out how to keep that decision, but you know God wants you to keep the decision. Go get help from somebody that can show you how to keep the decision. Go let somebody coach you through it and show you what works and what does not work. There are a lot of things like that. When you go to changing your life, and you're not real sure how to change your life, you might want somebody to coach you through it that helps people to change their life. So get help if you need it. Next. If you slip up, try again immediately. If you slip up, try again immediately. You say, I was going along, I made the decision, I did real well for many, many weeks, and then I had a week and I messed up. Listen. If you had a week and you messed up, it's like riding a horse. They say if you get bucked off a horse, you get right back on it. Get right back on it. I'll tell you a story. I got to tell this story earlier this week. I was flying. I was preaching, and it was time for me to come home. And so they were flying me back, and we got caught in some terrible, terrible weather. 35,000 feet, tornadoes everywhere. It was the nastiest airplane ride I've ever been on in my life. We tried to land at four different airports. We could not land. It was so bad. I called my wife from the plane. She would tell you. I called her. I told her. I said, honey, I probably won't. I was honest with her. I said, I think I'm going to die. I just want you to know it's okay. I'll see you in heaven. But our plane, I don't think we're going to reach the ground. We finally landed under duress. We ran out of fuel. We did not even make it all the way into the airport. We ran out of fuel. I really thought I was going to die. Then they had the audacity. They came on and said, now, folks, we realize some of your flights have been delayed and detoured, and we've got a bus here. And they had to take us on a bus from where our plane landed to take us to the airport. And they said, we'll arrange your flights for later tonight. Nobody wanted to be back on a plane that night. I'd have to be real honest with you about it. But here's what happened. Well, I was scheduled. I landed on a Friday, and I was scheduled to fly out again to go preach on a Monday. I have to tell you, when I was up there thinking I was going to die, I said to myself, I don't think I ever want to fly again, Lord. If you'll get me out of this, I'm not sure. I'll walk if I have to. I'll get a donkey. Jesus did. A donkey would be fine for me, Lord. You know what I knew I had to do? When Monday morning rolled around, I had to suck it up. I had to get my briefcase. I had to climb on an airplane. And until you've been 35,000 feet in the air thinking you're going to die, and though you all giggled when I was telling the story, there was nobody giggling on my airplane. There were people crying, throwing up, wetting themselves. It was terrible. It was bad. I got back on the plane on Monday morning. Why? We almost went down. But the only way that I was ever going to have the confidence to succeed again was to overcome my fear and overcome what could have been a failure and get back on a plane. I've been flying ever since. And I've flown hundreds of thousands of miles ever since. You listen to me. When you're flying high for the Lord and you're succeeding and you take a fall, you say, what do I do, preacher? You get back up, you get back on the horse, and you ride again. Don't stay down. You see, here's what will happen. You say, I want to keep my decision. Well, all of us fall away from our decisions. But here's what will happen for you. If your fall is short, you really won't be credited for not keeping your decision because you're right back on it. The longer you stay away from your decision, the more apt you are to be found guilty of not keeping the decision. That lapse of time is what makes it worse. So get right back up and do it. I'll give you one other pointer about if you want to keep a decision, what you do. Memorize scripture that strengthens your decision. Memorize scripture that strengthens your decision. The Bible says, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If you made a decision, okay, let's say you make a decision, you're going to stop drinking liquor. Here's what you do. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, and memorize where the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You say, there's some other things I need to make decisions about. Well, look, you make a decision, find a scripture that backs that decision, memorize that scripture, and that scripture will become a part of what we would call your spiritual peer pressure. It will help keep pressure on your decision. Now, listen, we've got just a couple moments more and we'll be done. Why do we need to make decisions and keep them? Well, first of all, to glorify God, and then it affects so many people, including ourselves. We have to mean it. We pray to keep the decision. We make them public by telling the church publicly, our friends, our parents, our other leaders. Write them down. Begin to live them immediately. Get help if you need help. If you slip up, try again immediately. Memorize verses that will help you. Folks, you have to make your good decision a part of your routine in life. Don't just visit it. Make that decision your norm. So don't approach it like this. Say, well, I'll try it, see if I like it. No, if you decided you're going to do it for God, do it. Do it. Now, if you'll do that, you'll come far closer to keeping your decisions in life. We're going to do something a little different now before we have the altar call. I can't let anybody preach. I only want just a few words or a sentence. And if nobody participates, fine, we'll go on. But here's what I'm going to do. I told you about some decisions that I made as a Christian. Maybe you have one. And I'm only going to take a few. But maybe you could say, Pastor, I remember when I promised God I was going to do thus and so. Again, I'm not asking you to preach a sermon. The sermon's been preached. But if there's been a decision that you've made in life, and it's a very big decision, and it's important to you, and you remember it, I would love for someone to very briefly, just in a sentence, tell me what decision you remember making. Maybe it was when you were young. Maybe it's been recently. But who would have a decision like that that you could tell me about? Okay, Nanette? Amen. Yeah. So she knew, she learned from an experience of death and a spiritual experience that God wanted her to attend to elderly and sick people. And she's been doing that. Good. Good decision. Somebody else. Let me go to Alyssa. Alyssa. Amen. Purity till marriage. Great decision. Great decision. Someone else. Okay. Ms. Caldwell. Amen. Well, Everybody needs to make that decision. Someone else, you say, there's a decision I made. I remember it. I was serious about it. It's an important decision in my life. Brother Tyler? Amen. Yep. Brother Steed? Amen. And there's a servant, indeed. He's a servant. Someone else, you say, I specifically, there was a decision I made in my life. It was very clear to me. It was very very important to me, and I made that decision. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. And a scriptural decision. Someone else. We're almost finished. Anybody else? Listen, let's stop for just a second. Think about, hey, have you ever been in a red-hot revival meeting? Or maybe it wasn't red-hot for everybody else. You ever been sitting in a seat where all the pressure's at? God bearing down on you? Remember what you used to do and what you used to believe? Remember back when you made those decisions? What changed? Why didn't you keep that? Most people don't overnight break them and they're gone. But you just stepped away a little bit at a time. The devil's pretty slick that way. Pretty slick. Hey, I wish everybody tonight would say, I don't need to make any new decisions tonight, preacher. I just need to keep the ones I've already made. You'd help an awful lot of people if you do that. A lot of people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens? Well, let's do this. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Not everybody testified, which is fine. You didn't need to. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, think for a moment about some very serious spiritual decision you made. Think of it. Force yourself to think on it. Remember when you promised God that? Who here tonight could raise your hand and say, Preacher, I have right now in my mind, I have thought of a very serious decision I made for God. I've thought of it, and that's all I want to know. Will you raise your hand? Say, I thought of it. Very serious decision I made for God. You may put your hand down. Now the rest is up to you and God. What are you going to do about that? Father, take the invitation. Use it to get glory to thyself. May we glorify you in our decision making. But Lord, may we help people and ourselves by making our decisions and just keeping them. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. If you need a moment at the altar, hey, if you have some decision that you have reneged on, some decision that you went back on, maybe you ought to come down here and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone backwards on that. Let me tell you how you can tell if you're backslidden. You say, well, I'd made a decision once to be faithful, but I'm not faithful to church. And I made a decision once that I would tithe, but I don't do that anymore. And I made a decision once that I would witness to people, but I don't do that anymore. And I made a decision once that I would teach Sunday school and help rear boys and girls for Jesus. I don't do that anymore. You might be missing your condition. It's not just one broken promise. You're backslidden. Everything you promised you were going to be and do, you're not it. You're not being it. You're not doing it. That's called being backslidden. Oh, where we would be if we would just keep our decisions. One more time through the song. Please, Mrs. Young, just one more time. How am I going to keep my decision? Well, mean it when you make it. Pray about it when you make it. Make it public to your friends, your parents, and others. Write it down. Live it immediately. Get help. If you slip up, get up. Memorize some scripture about it. And make the decision a part of your life routine. Don't just visit that behavior. Go there consistently, constantly, from here on out.